Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew. This is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We told you we would come back Sunday and record if KU won both their games, and I'll be darned if they didn't win both their games. Andrew, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Kevin. We survived. We advanced. We're going to Omaha next weekend. I think we'll play on Friday, Sunday.
I think so.
And I think it's safe to say we're recording this on a Sunday evening. It's safe to say that we will be playing the Clemson Tigers as they are currently, as we record, up on the Auburn Tigers, both Tigers, by 40 points. By 40. So let's hope they shoot all their bullets tonight.
Yeah. We talked about it before. I think it was a 1 point favorite was Auburn, correct?
I think so.
Auburn was a 1 point favorite. That is not how it turned out.
For the folks at home, it is currently 69-29, and Clemson is going to shoot free throws to extend this. We'll get into that later. But Kevin, it is in the peak March Madness. We've got Xavier playing Florida State tonight. We have Kansas State playing UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. They are at halftime at the moment. So as we're recording this is peak March Madness. This is the coming down to the last games. The only other game tonight is the West Virginia game. I hope everybody either took Thursday and Friday off or at least got to watch a bunch of the games secretly in their offices, conference rooms, or whatever it may be. It's the best time of year.
Yes.
But we're coming down to some, the real deal. We've got the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight next weekend. Luckily, we'll be a part of it, at least the Sweet 16. But Kevin, I'm feeling good.
Me too. And I got to say, Andrew, just because it's something that we're watching right now, I always cheer for K-State in the tournament when they're not playing us. There ain't no way I'm cheering for them tonight. There's no one in the country cheering for them tonight except for K-State fans. And half the K-State fans be like, it'd be kind of neat if they lost to a 16. Like, if they lose to a 16, oh boy, I'm going to keep that one in my pocket every time this comes up.
I mean, it's not as bad as Virginia, and we'll get to that, but it's still pretty bad.
Still really bad.
Do you want to jump straight into storylines from the tournament before we get into KU? While we're talking about it.
Sure.
Okay. So, and obviously the biggest story from the tournament, and the biggest story kind of in the sports world in the past, a long time. I mean, this is something that everybody's been waiting for since 1985 when they started doing seedings like this. Is whether a 16 seed was going to beat a 1 seed. It had never happened until late Friday night when UMBC, the school that Stringer Bell went to when he was not running the drug empire on the wire, beat Virginia, beat UVA. And I guess let's just give the reaction from as a KU fan, as uniquely a Kansas Jayhawk fan. Relief.
Yeah.
For me.
Glad it wasn't
us. I always go into the tournament feeling very confident in our team. And even this year, I'm feeling very confident. Bill's usually got them ready to go for March. But there's always that thing in the back of your head. Like, I don't want to be the first team to lose to a 16. Or just, it's going to be the same going forward. But I couldn't handle it. Like, there's always that little extra added bit of pressure. And I kind of feel bad for Virginia and the Virginia fans because I know that anxiety, but unfortunately for them, it went through. Do you feel that when we're a 1 seed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that every team is flawed, right? Like, every team has a flaw. And in basketball, it's very unique. Unlike football, unlike a lot of sports, there are some ways you can neutralize size and talent, and making a lot of three pointers is one of them. And there's a reason it's madness, because anything can happen. You knew at some point it would happen. And like you said, we're a 1 seed a lot, thankfully. But yeah, I've always been terrified that was going to be us. So if it ever happens to us, thanks, Tony Bennett. Now we at least weren't the first. But I totally agree with you. I actually was thinking about that this morning, how crazy it is for UMBC, but how awful it is for that Virginia team. I mean,
Virginia team is so good.
They're going to wear that like forever.
Right. People like to hate that team just the way they play.
I hate that team.
I understand, but they're really good. But you watch that game.
I guess.
I mean, is this going to be a game where you're going to remember where you were?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for I think sure. so, too.
And then, you know, honestly, so. You go back to our last podcast, Andrew. I got a couple quotes for you. Number one, this is my quote. If you give me Virginia versus the field in the top half of that bracket, I've got the field. That was number one. Number two, I am not on board with Virginia. I don't trust Virginia in the tournament. I do not trust them. That was me as well. So just throwing it out there. I didn't predict it, but I didn't have them going more than one game.
You have a quote in here from me as well that you forgot to put in. And I said, well, they're really good. This is in regards to Virginia. But this tournament is all about matchups. I don't think the committee did them any favors. And I will point out that I may not have said it, but I was talking about UMBC.
UMBC. No, of course.
I was not talking about Arizona. Yeah. I was not talking about Kentucky. I was talking about UMBC.
Speaking of our predictions, Andrew, just a couple more. You and I did pick Loyola.
Yeah, that's a good team. That's a good team.
I actually had them in the Sweet 16 in my bracket, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
I picked them just to win the one game, but, you know, good for them for advancing.
And, Andrew, Cincinnati lost tonight, so they played Nevada. There's a chance.
That was a 22-point comeback.
There is a chance. Loyola moves on. Give it to me, Loyola. I love it. They got Clayton Custer, as we talked about, the kid from Blue Valley.
Blue Valley Northwest.
Hits the game winner. So anyway, and then another quote from our last podcast. This was, again, me. I don't trust Tennessee. I said that out loud.
There you go. And my dog picked Tennessee to win it all.
Oh, bummer.
Tennessee versus Radford was her final game. Was her national championship.
Bummer.
She was a little disappointed this weekend.
Did she pick her bracket? Did she pick UMBC?
She did.
Okay. All right. Yes. There you go. Okay, good.
She did. And we do this by throwing popcorn. And whichever piece of popcorn she eats is her bracket. While she did pick UMBC, the rest of her bracket. Pretty
not looking
awful.
So good. Not looking good.
Looking so hot. All right. Fair enough. There's nothing much to brag about. Kevin, let's get to a couple other quick hitters on the tournament. Just quick reactions. Mizzou, one and done. Michael Porter looked not good. He's obviously hurt, but going to be a very forgettable year, or at least forgettable tournament for Mizzou. And as KU fans, we'll enjoy that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be a forgettable year because they'll remember this year as the what could have been year, which is even better.
Right.
So I'm into
that. And unfortunately I think Jonte Porter is going to go pro too. So it's not like they're going to have a bunch coming back. They still have some guys, but,
hey, they got a good coach now. They're going to be fine. They're going to be tournament team. Cause it's easy to win in the SEC even this year. I mean, we've seen SEC teams been not so hot other than Kentucky so far. I think they'll be fine, but yeah, it's fun to rub that one in. And then Arizona, Andrew.
Oof. Woof. Didn't just lose. And that's what we're seeing with these upsets. These upsets have been, you know, big upsets, but they've been destroyed. It's not like there's a last second shot. Arizona lost by 20. Virginia lost by 20. North Carolina lost by 20 to A&M. And this is something we should go through, but there's a lot of teams that KU beat that have advanced out of the Sweet 16, including A&M. Including Syracuse.
Yeah.
And then whatever Big 12 teams end up making it. But yeah, the Arizona team, Sean Miller, the rise and fall of Sean Miller there in Arizona. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's ever going to rise again, considering the circumstances. But yeah, Arizona, a team that I'll tell you, I had in my Final Four. Not that anyone cares about
the championship game. I had them all the way.
But just awful what happened there. And also other top seeds to fall. That's North Carolina, Michigan State, which we saw today.
Woo!
Cincinnati, which we just saw happen to Nevada after a 22-point comeback.
It's wild.
And then just on the Big 12 side, we have Texas Tech advanced yesterday. K-State is currently playing Maryland, Baltimore County. And then West Virginia will play in-state rival Marshall later on this evening. So, you know, good showing for the Big 12 so far.
I think so, right? You know, let's talk about that.
So two teams went to overtime, and we know these two teams weren't going to be very good in overtime because they're not great, you know, specific play, specific execution. That's Texas and Oklahoma. So Trae Young, first game of the tournament, take Rhode Island takes him to overtime, and they lose. And then, you know, speaking of Nevada, Nevada trails Texas by a bunch. Nevada comes back, beats Texas in overtime. So those two teams, I mean, that's fairly close. You probably could have seen them advance. And then I'll let you react. But the other disappointing one was TCU losing to Syracuse. I honestly think those, having played both of those teams and having seen both, I think they're pretty evenly matched despite the seeding. But I thought TCU could pull it out. They should be a better team, and I think they've got more talent. But somehow Syracuse pulled it out.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. That any of those games could have gone the other way. And you know, I think the Big 12 generally has looked pretty good. Texas Tech tried to give away, tried to suck in their first game, and they ended up pulling it out. K-State against Creighton looked great. I mean, that was a surprise.
Right, and no Dean Wade.
Without Dean Wade, yeah.
And Dean Wade's not playing in this UMBC game, but they're still managing that guy who killed us. I can never remember his name. Well, I can remember, I just can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
What's his name?
The tall guy.
Yeah, the tall guy is kind of filling that void. They're playing a little differently, but so it's good to see K-State. K-State might walk into the Sweet 16 without Dean Wade, which is kind of incredible.
And face a 5 seed. Now, the 5 seed is Kentucky, and they're playing really good, but still. Yeah, good on them. We'll see. Go UMBC. We'll see. We'll know by the end of this podcast, probably, or close to it. But yeah, I think the Big 12 has been fine. We'll see what happens tonight. It would be nice to see, from a Big 12 standpoint, K-State and West Virginia both advance and have 4 teams in the Sweet 16 would be pretty cool. You know, if they even go a little further, and then maybe the Big 12 actually gets a little credit, because that is something that we've had a problem with, I think, in the Big 12. You have these great RPI league, and then next thing you know, everyone's out, you know, by the Elite Eight. Hopefully we've got a good showing this year. I think that would go a long way for that narrative. Anything else, Andrew, on the storylines from the tournament?
I mean, I think that this tournament is going to be remembered as the 16 beats a 1 tournament, you know, whoever can win. But I think we'll all remember back to UMBC and that crazy Friday night, and then how that happened. And I think the champion will deserve it and have put the banner up, but really it finally happened, and I'm just glad it didn't happen to us. But yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to talk about our 16 seed. It happened on Thursday afternoon, and that was Penn.
Yeah.
Out of Philadelphia, University of Pennsylvania. And just to, you know, spoiler alert, we won 76-60, but there were some rough patches in there.
Andrew, everyone said this was right. The year a 16 would beat a 1. And they were talking about Kansas.
Right.
Sorry.
And, you know, and we didn't complain too much, you know, when we did our podcast, but they were regarded as one of the higher 16 seeds.
Yeah.
That's ever been in the tournament. And if you went by KenPom, they should have been, you know, a 13 or 14.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
You got to play who you're going to play. You know, an Ivy League team had never been a 16 seed in, you know, 20 years or whatever it is. So they had some pedigree, had some skill. They just ended up as the 16 seed. But, you know, weren't able to pull it off, luckily. But, Kevin, and we mentioned this a little earlier, were you nervous at all?
So I was looking at usually I'm not nervous on that thing that early for, you know, it's obviously super early, but I was looking at ESPN does the live tracker thing of predictability of at a certain point in the game, who's got the best chance to win. And I looked down to the 7:47 mark in the first half, we're down 21-11, down 10 points. And ESPN had a predictor saying we were going to win 57% of the time, and 57% against the 16, that's not very many. Like that's a pretty, a pretty low percentage.
Slightly higher than a coin flip.
Even funnier was I was watching live betting. You know, they post a live line on Bovada as the game goes on. It's a total, you know, trap bet to get people to bet in the moment. but sometimes they lock it and their algorithm gets off or for whatever reason, someone's betting one side and they just hit lock. And that happened on KU because it got down to KU minus 6.5.
Ooh.
At this point, it was right at that 10-point loss or 10-point margin. Got down to KU minus 6.5. I hit that pretty hard. And then it locked. And then it went down to KU minus 4.5. But you couldn't bet it. So at one point in this game, KU was only a 4.5-point favorite per Bovada, but you couldn't bet it. And then it locked until KU got back up by 10. So, and it wouldn't even let, or until halftime. It wouldn't let you bet all the way up till halftime. So I think they were not going to allow that. Now, I'm sure they made all their money back on Virginia, but kind of funny to watch that.
Well, and I think I was nervous too. We go down by 10 early. You know, that's rough against the 16 seed. And you've been hearing all about all the stuff and like, oh, there's too much talk about it. It's not going to happen. And then when it when we went down, your blood started to boil a little bit. But, you know, luckily they put it together last 10 minutes of the first half and then came out in the second half and you know, played Kansas basketball. And I think the key to that was Devontae Graham. 29 points. I think that, you know, he was the real leader of the team, obviously, but without Devontae, I think we would have been in real trouble. He was, you know, getting to the line, doing Devontae things. He was dishing. And one other guy I want to talk about is LeGerald Vick with 14 points.
Yes.
And we'll talk about him in Seton Hall as we do a little recap of that too, but he played well there too. So maybe we have a LeGerald November, early December LeGerald sighting that would be great for this team going forward.
Oh man, I hope so. Like that would be enormous to have that third option, or maybe you call it fourth option with Doak. But I think right now it's clearly Devontae Graham and Malik Newman that are kind of running the show. But if you get that third scorer, whether it's Fee or if you got another option in Vic, and then you know you're getting good minutes from Doak, that changes everything. That raises our ceiling even further. So. Absolutely. Yeah, great to see him play to his athleticism and make some shots, see the ball go in. That goes a long way, man. I'm super stoked for him. He's obviously had a rough, really rough Big 12 play, but showing signs of returning. And then Andrew, Doak does make a very, very, very brief appearance in this game. I think he played 4 minutes, something like that.
He got one rebound.
He got one board, looked a little out of sorts. You heard after the game that Self preferred not to play him in this game. And the reason was, he actually said it after the Seton Hall game, the reason was that the doctor said he was going to be sore 2 days after he played. And he okay. wanted to keep him for the Seton Hall game rather than being sore during the Seton Hall game. So I think they would have preferred not to play him at all. But of course, we got down early and Bill's like, oh, shoot, I guess we got to check him and do something. And then luckily, he ended up, you know, they ended up pulling away and didn't have to play him anymore. But good to see him make an appearance. I think there were some that were talking about how we wouldn't see Doak at all this tournament. So the fact that he got in there at all was good. And then obviously we saw him play well against Seton Hall. But anyway, anything else about the Penn game?
Glad to get it over with.
Yeah.
16-1 didn't happen there. Moving on. No one will remember that game moving forward. But Seton Hall. People might remember this one. You know, we ended up winning 83-79. And I think people outside of Kansas or maybe bettors will remember this game for the last play when, cause they were just making everything in the last minute.
Oh my God.
I think they had 15 points in the last minute, you know, just slowing it down like that.
I think it felt like 50 points, but yeah.
But they hit a three to, cover the spread on the four and a half to give, Seton Hall the victory. And my favorite part of this time of year is seeing the videos from sportsbooks in Vegas or wherever where someone's got, you know, the game's done, but someone hits a shot at the end and everyone loses their mind. There was a couple great sportsbook videos on Twitter, but into the actual game, I think Malik Newman showed up as Big 12 tournament Malik Newman, and he was the real story of the game with 28 points. And, you know, really the last 15 minutes, 12 minutes of the game, we relied on his scoring to kind of keep pace with Seton Hall, keep them, you know, at arm's length for the most part, because Devontae struggled.
Yeah, he wasn't good. You know, he distributed the ball, which is good. I think he had 9 assists. But he had like three turnovers in the first 5 minutes or something. I think he ended up with five turnovers. He was nine assists, still good. Five turnovers is a little too many. And he didn't have his shot going. I can't remember how many points he ended up with. Maybe four, five, six, seven. It was certainly single digits. But he certainly didn't have it going there. But luckily, you know, others picked up the slack, notably Malik Newman, as you mentioned. Good to see Doak play extended minutes. I think I saw at one point, and I don't remember what it was for the full game, but in his time in the game, somewhere midway in the second half, we were plus 18 when he was on the court. Now, I know plus minus is whatever it is, but you could tell how much better we were, because honestly, not only did we play better on offense, but he could at least sort of guard Angel Delgado, who clearly had an angel. Angels in the outfield, like everyone had the signs going for Delgado, man. He ended up 24 and 20 or something like that. Just,
yeah, at least, I mean, 20 and 20, and then, you know, whatever he had above that.
Insane. Insane. Right.
And looked like the best player on the floor. They went to him every time, you know, at least until the end. And, you know, that dude came ready to play. But, you know, yeah. A team full of juniors and seniors, as we'll probably see next week. And you know what? This was kind of predictable, especially with Doak playing the minutes that he did. And I know he played quite a bit. He, you know, people who were familiar with Seton Hall and people who are familiar with KU said, you know, I don't know who's going to win the game, but Angel Delgado is going to get 20 rebounds. And that's what happened. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that he is the perfect candidate or perfect guy to take advantage of our weaknesses. And Doak was able to capitalize on that a little bit and at least stem that to the extent that we were able to win the game. But that guy was incredible. And, you know, just glad to move on. Seton Hall should get all the credit in the world for putting up that fight. And Angel Delgado, I don't know if we can give him some extra award, but, you know, he definitely deserves something.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a monster. I'm just glad we got out of that game. That was a little scary. Get to the Sweet 16, Andrew. But real quickly, we asked the same question in the first game. What about the second game? Were you nervous?
Oh, sure. I was nervous the whole time. I mean, I thought we were playing fairly well, and you could trust certain spots. You could trust Malik Newman, but you know, they kept hitting shots and they kept getting offensive rebounds, and Angel Delgado did whatever he wanted. So that's what made me nervous. But I think we were able to execute to a certain extent. And so it was a different kind of nervous. It was a nervous that, you know, I normally would have for any KU basketball game. But I was confident in some of the areas where we were doing well.
Let me give you the ESPN thing again. This was at the 4:22 mark in the first half. KU was only a 51% chance to win the game. It was a coin flip at the 4:22 mark. We were down 4 points at that time. So, yeah, there was reason to be nervous at that point. And then it, you know, obviously got back in KU's favor. But a live betting even got to a point when KU was up 10 or so, got to Seton Hall plus 9.5. And I've lost a whole lot of money this weekend, but I made money when I bet that, because it did not feel like KU was going to win this game by double digits. It just never did. And then obviously they closed it late with a zillion points.
I don't like that you bet against KU.
I don't bet. It's not betting against KU.
I don't like it.
I'm not cheering for it. I'm betting.
I just want to get my statement out there.
I'm betting with
my wallet. I want to put my on the floor. I want to put it, just for the record, I want to state my objection to what you do on that.
Noted.
That's all I want to say. I want it to be in the record.
It is on the record. Andrew, let's move on. And I want to stop here for just a second before we do anything else and move on to some other talk about what looks like a matchup in the Sweet 16 against Clemson.
Clemson's only up by 30, though.
Ooh, Auburn's comeback.
Cut 10 points off of it.
Comeback.
It's 79-49 with 2 minutes left. So
here's another update. K-State's up 3. Second half. Oof. 1 point, one possession game. Andrew, I want to take a break here and talk to Doak. But not Doak. I want to talk to Doak's knee. All right? Mm. Little pep talk here. All right? Let me put some music on. I don't have any music queued up, but maybe I'll remember to go back and put some music on. If I don't have music on, just imagine some calming music. And Andrew, or let's start here. Listen, Doak's knee, I just need you to hold up for a little bit longer. I know that in the off season you'll have plenty of time to rest, but I just need you to hold on through maybe just 3 more weeks. That's all. Just a few more weeks. That's it. Just hang on tight. At some point, Doak is going to jump up on you and you're going to land and it's going to feel a little funny, but just stay strong, all right? Because there was a few times when Doak jumped up in the air and he landed and all of us went, but then he kept moving. He kept doing okay. So, Andrew, do you have anything to say to Doak's knee?
Sure. I want you to listen to Cheddar. Cheddar's going to guide you through this next week. You know, if Cheddar tells you to jump off a bridge, I want you to do it because Cheddar knows what he's doing. Cheddar, of course, is the team trainer. And you know what, Doak's knee? I want you to absorb all that oxygen and those amino acids that are coming your way. Be gluttonous with it. Take mm-hmm. all of it in and yeah. use it to strengthen your tendons and whatever else it is you do with bending and moving around your knee. So just enjoy it. Just be a glutton because this is the time of year to do that. Don't care about your diet, knee.
No.
Like, oh, should I send some of this amino acids, some of this protein to the ankle? No.
No.
Keep it for yourself.
F you the need ankle. It. Yeah. Right. And think about this, knee. If we do go on and win a championship, you too will get a ring. Like, we'll figure out a way to get you a ring. And you can wear that ring right around your whatever tendon thing that connects to the knee. But I'll tell you what, do it for the ring. Do it for the ring, knee. All right, that was talking Doak's knee. I think that's all we need to do there. Honestly, though, Andrew, I think that was really effective. I think I think so,
because obviously Doak's knee has its own earbuds that'll listen to this podcast on. Yeah. And like, hey, those guys are talking about me.
Yeah, I think he did leave a review one time. Doak's knee did.
Doak's knee did?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure. Doak's knee's going to have a Twitter account for long. not from me. Andrew, let's move on. We have a Sweet 16 matchup coming up on Friday. We don't have a time yet. We'll figure it out. Hopefully, a ton of you are going to Omaha.
Omaha.
To watch that game. And Andrew, when we started the podcast, we weren't sure if it was going to be Auburn or Clemson. I'm starting to lean toward Clemson.
You know, Auburn still has a shot. It's a 30-point game, but, you know, it's a crazy tournament. Anything can happen.
It's a crazy tournament. It's March Madness, baby.
Let's go ahead. Let's preview Clemson. Let's just assume, and then if Auburn comes back and win, then that's our bad. And I'll tell you, this is a junior and senior-laden team. I think it's really three workhorses, and Marquise Reed, Elijah Thomas, and Gabe DeVoe in terms of these random three-point shooters that get hot. Gabe DeVoe is 6-for-9 tonight, or 6-for-9 in this game against Auburn. I hate that.
Yeah,
as a team, they're only shooting 38%. That's you know, higher than average, but not like blowing the doors off of them. But that guy is insane. You know, otherwise, they look like they're a fairly good rebounding team, but it may just be that they're playing against a team who has no interest in playing a basketball game tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right that Marquise Reed is their kind of go-to junior. And you're right, Andrew. I was looking at their team. Three juniors and two seniors. So we're not catching a team that's not been around. We did talk about them a little bit in the last podcast. We don't need to go back and do all of that, but they've had a good season. I mean, they beat North Carolina. They beat Florida State. They beat Louisville, they beat Florida, they beat Ohio State, several, you know, top 25 wins there. They lost to Virginia twice, so obviously they're not good because Virginia lost in the first round. So there's something to be said for that, but not a super high scoring team, I don't think, although except for tonight.
Tonight they are.
Tonight. But overall, I you know, I'm not seeing anything in their numbers that gives me a ton of oh crap. You know, like you mentioned, you look at the 3-point shooting, you know, nothing crazy there. I think they're in the top 100, but generally really good defense. They're 10th in defense, defensive efficiency on KenPom. So they like keeping it a little lower scoring. And obviously they've done a pretty good job on defense tonight because, for whatever reason, Auburn can't get anything.
And defense is going to be their hallmark and calling card against us specifically. So, you know, after the game, Bill Self talked about, you know, if we're going to advance in this tournament, we have to have four or five of our starters operating at all cylinders on offense. And I think that that's only been true. You know, we kind of have two or three guys or two guys or one guy kind of carry us. All five are going to have to, because they play good team defense where they make you work for it. You got to run a play if you want to beat them. You're not going to get some crazy lazy offense and score like you. And I think that we're well equipped to do that. We move the ball pretty well, but we've got to move the ball. We can't just rely on, you know, come down the floor shooting a random contested three and hoping it goes in to try to win the game. I think it's really going to be swinging the ball, trying to get it to Doak, trying to get open looks. That's how you beat this team.
It's going to be a Doak game. It's going to be a Doak game, Andrew. It's going to be a big Doak game. I'm calling it right now. Doak goes for 20 and 20. He goes Delgado numbers.
I mean, Elijah Thomas is big, but he's not as big as Doak. I mean,
their biggest guy is 230 pounds, 6'9", 230. They got nothing on the bench any taller or bigger.
Right. And it's really those five guys. Those five guys are going to play. No one else is. I mean, it's not an incredibly deep team, which is good and bad. But, you know, it's a junior and senior laden team, which, you know, those teams usually do well in the tournament. We see all these one and done freshmen who are done, who are out of. But we have these, you know, very experienced teams that advance year after year, and that's what we're seeing this year. And then this is one of those teams, and we're one of those teams as well. I mean, we've got Devontae, we've got Sfee, we've got LeGerald, and then a couple, you know, young talented guys in Doak and Mitch. I'll throw Mitch in there.
No, Mitch. Yeah, Mitch was not a match for Delgado.
Mitch struggled.
Struggled.
And sorry, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, we got to get Silvio in there. We kind of did, but he wasn't making the same mistakes as Mitch, but he was still making mistakes. Yeah. So it was a rough night for the big men not named Doak against Seton Hall. But we're moving forward. We don't have to have that challenge. We'll just have different challenges with Clemson. Yeah. And then I don't want to look too far ahead, Kevin.
I'm not into that either. But
we can talk about Michigan State and what that kind of sets up on the other side. Because it could have been a situation where it was a Omaha version of the Champions Classic minus Kentucky. We're three of those teams, and Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas would all be there. But Michigan State ruined that party, and Syracuse moves on. So just in terms of the Syracuse matchup and Syracuse versus Duke, it's surprising to say, at least on one level, both of these teams are heavy zone teams now. I mean, obviously Syracuse is, but Duke has kind of stolen that mold. So if we do advance on to the Elite Eight, got to get ready for that zone, something we have struggled with this year.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, with Michigan State losing, that was kind of a bummer, I think, because I would have preferred to play Michigan State than Duke if we got there. I think Duke is really got it going, you know, and some would say they got a cakewalk to the Elite Eight now. You know, Syracuse, They can cause problems. The problem is they can't score. So Duke obviously can. So I would be absolutely floored if Duke doesn't beat Syracuse in that game and advance to the Elite Eight. So I hope we win. But if we do, I think we're looking down a Duke team that probably is the most talented team left in the field. You could maybe make an argument for Villanova, but I don't think I do. I think Duke is the most talented team left in the field. And if you think we had a problem with Angel Delgado and hope that there's no more Angel Delgados left in the league or left in the pathway of Kansas, Marvin Bagley is a monster. And so we need Doak to get back and get good, Andrew, between now and then, because we're going to need him every minute we can in that game if we play them.
Doak's just got to show up. Marvin Bagley led the ACC in scoring, led the ACC in rebounding. Similar to what we saw last night with Angel Delgado leading the game in scoring and rebounding. But at least we know what we have to face. And in terms of, you know, us previewing Syracuse versus Duke, I don't think we need to. Everybody knows enough. Like, everyone knows who Marvin Bagley is. And then we played Syracuse this year.
Yep.
They gave us a game too. I mean, they took us down to the wire, and that was a game that Clay Young had to play meaningful minutes for us to win that game.
I forgot about that. He did play minutes in that game. I think Self even talked about that in his senior speech. This guy played minutes and meaningful minutes in that Syracuse game that we came back and won.
He did. We can call it. Clemson has won. Auburn was not able to come back. Bummer. We got a final score of 84-53, which just goes to show you they can score points and they can hold you to nothing. They held Auburn, the highest scoring team in the SEC, the SEC, to 53 points. I don't want to know. I don't know if I'm going to give credit to or discredit to Auburn, but I'm going to say that Clemson put on a show tonight, and we're going to have to be ready for it on Friday.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's pretty incredible. Did they just shoot the heck out of the ball? I didn't watch a minute of that game. I was watching other games because after it got to blowout.
I mean, I can tell you. I mean, they shot 38% from three, 47% from the field.
So they're about their averages then.
So, I mean, yeah, I just think that it all went well for them in terms of turnovers. Auburn had six. They they shot 25%.
Missed everything?
They shot 25% from the field and 21% from three. Had some free throws, but it just went their way.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily one thing over the other. They just, in all facets of the game, took it to them.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll see what happens in the Sweet 16. Obviously, it'd be awesome if we get to face either Duke or Syracuse in the Elite Eight in Omaha, Andrew.
Omaha.
And either way, you got to think if we win that Sweet 16 game, Duke, for as popular as they are in college basketball circles, they don't travel that well. There's not going to be that many Duke people in Omaha.
Right. The best thing that could happen for the next weekend is that Michigan State lost. Michigan State does travel
saying.
Well.
That's what
and
I'm
it's
saying.
Not and it's not that far. I mean, they travel to Lincoln.
That's where I'm taking this. That's exactly
right.
Where I was taking this. Yep.
This is a good thing. I think tickets are gonna go down in price. It's not that far of a drive.
Mm-mm.
It's 2.5 hours and it's just up by 35.
You gotta go.
It's easy to get there. It's a great arena. It's a big arena. I think it's 18,000 people.
Wow.
Gotta go. If you're debating about whether you can go or not. You got to go.
And Andrew, Omaha's a great town. Great town. And also, Andrew, you could take in a day at the zoo. Take the family up there a little early. Go to the zoo. Great zoo up there in Omaha. Yeah. That's about all I got for Omaha. I don't know anything else.
Lovely.
College World Series, but that's not really.
Just go enjoy
just
your KU brethren. Find a bar before and after the game. Do the rock jock chant with all the people. That's all you need to do. That's the best part of it.
That's all you need to do. Andrew, let's do some predictions.
Yes, Les. So let's predict it out. Let's go. We're going to go through each region, say what teams are left because there's some teams still playing, and then let's pick a winner. Let's pick a Final Four participant from each region. So let's start with.
Do we need consensus or are we doing our own?
No, let's do our own. So let's start with the South region. We still have UMBC versus K-State playing. It is a very tight game.
Go UMBC.
I don't know where my feelings are. I mean, I think
yes,
I want K-State
do.
To lose.
Yes.
Well, I think I do. But for Big 12 purposes, it would be nice to say there are four Big 12 teams
dude,
in the Sweet 16.
Dude, this
but
overrides
it. Would be,
it.
Bruce Weber would, where's Fran Fraschilla now? Ask Fran about it. Can you guys go? Is this CBS or ESPN? Is Fran here? Can Fran explain this to everyone? Okay, so we still UMB versus K-State is still going on. We have Kentucky. So the winner of UMB's K-State will play Kentucky, and then on the south, the bottom part of that of the South is Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. So we have a potential 6-9, a 5, an 11, and a 7, which is exactly how we drew it up, Kevin. Yep. I think that's how they say it. So pick a winner out of that.
You can give me Kentucky.
Yep. And Kentucky, if they have to play no higher than a 9 seed or a 7 seed to get, I mean, depending on who wins against Loyola and Nevada, which I'm taking Loyola in that game.
I am too. Go Loyola.
If they have to play no higher than a K-State 9 seed to get to the Final Four, that's just.
That's basketball gods. That is a lot of prayer. Big Blue Nation's got a lot of prayers.
Yeah, okay, so let's go on to the West. Xavier and Florida State are currently playing, and it is a one-point game. So that game could be this could look a lot different tomorrow if people are listening to this. So we've got Xavier, Florida State will play, the winner of that will play Gonzaga. And on the bottom half of that bracket is Michigan and Texas A&M, who had the big win against North Carolina today. So let's go through that. Xavier, Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, Texas A&M. Who is your Final Four participant?
I think I'd take Gonzaga.
I see. I do, too. I hate the word. Man. I wish we had some disagreement here, but I'm taking Gonzaga as well. Michigan,
I'm pretty sure
maybe
we'll have some disagreement in the Midwest.
Michigan may have a spot or at least a thought that they could go on there, but I don't think so. I think it's Gonzaga. They're going to get back to the Final Four from last year arguably a still strong team, but not as strong as they were last year without a couple guys. So that's what we have. We have Kentucky versus Gonzaga on the left side of the bracket in the Final Four.
If it's not Gonzaga, it's probably Xavier though, right? I mean, I think Xavier hate's gone maybe a little too far.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see tonight. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So we're moving on to the East. We have Villanova versus the winner of West Virginia and Marshall. We don't know who's going to come out there. And then we have Texas Tech versus Purdue. So out of Villanova, West Virginia, Marshall, Texas Tech, Purdue, pick a winner out of that.
I got to take Nova. They look really, really good.
Right. They look good. They're the class of the tournament so far. Blew out Radford. What is what it is, but they had a statement game against Alabama. I wouldn't discount Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech could give them a run for their money. And, you know, Villanova is going to have a tough test against West Virginia next weekend. And, assuming West Virginia beats Marshall. So that could be a little run-in for him, but I think that, you know, if you're a betting man, Villanova is the right spot. So we're moving on to the Midwest. You mentioned that there may be some disagreement here. So this field is set. KU versus number 5 Clemson, and then number 11 Syracuse versus number 2 Duke. Let me guess, you're going to pick Duke.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Duke.
Ugh, gross. I'm picking KU because I think KU could beat Duke.
I think I can beat him too, but that's who I'm picking. I think Duke's really good. I think they are, like I said, the most talented team left. That said, we have a team that can compete against them in a lot of ways. We can make threes with anybody. We have a big man that could theoretically muscle up and guard Marvin Bagley. If anybody can guard Marvin Bagley, I'm not sure anybody can. But and then Andrew, all I know is this. We got to try to get in Grayson's head, right?
Ooh.
Please.
It's actually not that hard.
It's not that hard. Oh, man, please.
You and I need to work on that.
Yes. We did a pretty good job with Trae Young. We've had some experience here. But, yeah, we got to get in Grayson's head.
I would love that. I would love for that to be Grayson Allen's final game, and he gets kicked out for tripping LeGerald Vick, because LeGerald Vick just chucks shit to him the whole time.
Oh, man. Please let that happen. That would be everything for me. Okay, Andrew, I don't think we need to pick the finals, right? Let's stop there.
Let's stop there.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I think that we have a good chance. We've got a tough team in Clemson next week. And obviously, they put on a show against Auburn, in the round of 32 game. And then, you know, if we're lucky enough to get by Clemson, we've got a tough game in either Syracuse or Duke. And, you know, Duke would be a challenge. I think Syracuse would be a challenge again. But I think that this team, if they get it all clicking, if they get all 5 starters and even some bench guys contributing, but especially get all 5 starters involved offensively and play good team defense, this team could go all the way. And I think that there were spurts where you'd have to admit it. Like when Doak was on the floor, you could say to yourself, this team could win it all.
Sure.
When Doak was 100%, we could win it all.
Yeah, that's different than maybe people were thinking not that long ago. But just in the past month, Andrew, they figured something out. Malik turned it on. Nice to see LeGerald turning it on. You want to see Devontae turn into Mr. Big Shot again. I think he will. And And obviously Doak playing huge minutes is so important. He's got to stay out of foul trouble. But yeah, they, I mean, Andy, you look at the team, they've got pieces that can match up with anybody on a game, one game tournament. And that's all it is. Not a seven game. It's a one game tournament. And we can absolutely beat Duke. We can absolutely beat Villanova. We can absolutely beat Kentucky, Xavier, Gonzaga, anybody on a given night. So it'll be a lot of fun to see, Andrew. Hopefully we are back here Sunday talking about two huge wins and a Final Four trip to San Antonio. There's a slight chance that if that doesn't happen, we will not be here Sunday, but we're going to do our best. hopefully though, Andrew, we are here reacting, having a party next Sunday night at this time, talking about KU advancing. So we'll see. Looking forward to it either way.
Love it, Kevin. I think this team is going to be ready. We're going to have a full 5 days to get ready. Obviously, this team's our team probably watched the Clemson-Auburn game today. They know what's in store for them with Clemson. Obviously, they know about Syracuse, know about Duke. We've got a good shot as anybody. I think we've got a tough road, but, you know, this team can do it. This team can do it.
They can do it. They got just Doak's knee. Just stay in there, Doak's knee. Get that ring. All right, let's get out of here, Andrew. Thanks, everybody, for listening, as always. Thank you to the new listeners joining us in the March Madness. A few more numbers popping up in these latest podcasts. We appreciate you. Do us a favor. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a comment on iTunes. Give us that 5-star rating. Helps us to get the podcast out to others. You can find me at Jayhawk Talk. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. And we will see you in Omaha. Omaha, Andrew, this weekend. Rock chalk. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hawks, this baby. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.